Hello and welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Bonnie Gregory, and I pray today that you'll stay tuned to the broadcast, and I want to share from God's Word with you today. I want to share what God has laid on my heart. And if you're like me, in this time that we're now living, I need to hear a word that's faithful, a word that is solid, a word that is true, a word that I can depend upon, a word that will help me, a word that will carry me through. And right now I'm talking about the living Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is just not a book on your coffee table or bookshelf or wherever you have it laid. It is the living Word of God. The Bible says that Jesus, who was the Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt among men. And through Jesus Christ, we see the love of God, and we see the Word made manifest through Jesus Christ. But that Word is still living. And the Word of God, when it comes to us, will bring life to us. There are a lot of areas in our lives today, and a lot of people that I'm talking to now are going through great trials and tribulations, sickness in their bodies, troubles in their families, trouble in our country. But the living Word of God has the answer. And only Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, can bring peace to us. Our dilemma that we're in this country cannot be solved by man. It has to be solved by God. For if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and repent and call unto God, he said that he would forgive their sins and heal their land. Today, we need to come to the place that we repent, we turn from the wicked ways. Never have I seen a flood of evil and immorality and wickedness. You can't hardly even turn TV on that you're not seeing death and lewd and ugly things and perversion. Even in the cartoons, the children's cartoons, you have to watch what your children watch, even through the cartoons. But I'm telling you, that Jesus, the old Jesus is getting ready to come back, and I want you to be ready. So stay tuned as I share with you from God's Word. Lord, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, I pray, Lord, that you reach out through the airways wherever this message is going. You touch the hearts of your people today. Those who sincerely call out to you, you said you would in no wise cast them out. I pray, Lord, give them revelation knowledge of those that are not born again, that they must be born again. And the only way into you, God the Father, make it known to them is through your Son, Jesus Christ. There's not many ways we know that. It's only one way, and his name is Jesus. Lord, we pray for healing for those that need healing in their bodies right now, and healing in their spirit, healing in their minds. Lord, touch them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Deliver and set free. Let your healing power and your healing virtue go through these airways as people claim their healing in Jesus' name. For we know it is your will that you heal us. For you said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Give us prosperous souls, we pray in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we pray for our nation. Ask God that you touch America. And I know there may be a revival of just the remnant of people, but I know revival will come in the last days to those who are hungry for it. So make us hungry for revival. Make us hungry to be revived and refreshed in you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to read out of 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And this is the verses that I'm going to read. It's speaking of King David just before he died, making preparations for his son Solomon, the son of Bathsheba, to become king over Israel, to take his place. For David knew it was time for his departure. Now, we know David was called a man after God's own heart. He wrote many of the Psalms, and he praised God. He was a man of war. He was a man of victory, but he was also a man that had faults and who made some severe blunders and mistakes in his life concerning Bathsheba when he committed adultery with her and had her husband killed. But when he was confronted with his sin, he was quick to ask for forgiveness. And that was the difference in King Saul, who was the first king over Israel, and David, who was took Saul's place. When Saul was confronted with his sins, he made excuses for his sin. But when David was confronted with his sin, he was quick to repent. I see that a lot in people today, that when they're confronted with their wrong and their evil doing, they make excuses why they're doing what they're doing. And they keep on, and it comes to Saul's life where he rejected God, and even to the place where he called up witches to give him a word. And when, even though it come to the ending of his way, that he died through suicide. Let me explain something to you today. You don't want to harden your heart when God deals with you to repent. When God deals with you about the wrong in your life, don't make excuses for it. When you know you're wrong and you've been pointed out, you need to repent of it and deal with it. Put it under the blood of Jesus. Ask God to forgive you. And when you do that with a sincere heart, he will forgive you of all your sin. And even though David had trouble in his household, he still was a man after God's own heart. And God promised David that it would be on his throne, that even the Messiah, when he comes, when Jesus comes, sets up his kingdom, it will be on the throne of David, that lineage would go on throughout eternity. So when we have a heart after God, God will prepare, God will keep, God will sustain us. Today, it's not a one of us that hadn't failed and not a one of us that hadn't made mistakes. But when we have a heart after God, even through that, we can come to in repentance and through his word and know that God will help us. I'm hearing a lot of distressing teaching today that no matter what you do in your flesh, that you're not going to have to give an account for it as long as your spirit is right with God. That's totally wrong. Because, see, when your spirit is right with God, your flesh is going to do right. And when what you do in your flesh reflects what's in your heart. What comes out of your mouth is what's in the depths of your heart. And when your heart, when your soul and your mind and your body, soul and spirit, and your flesh, when they line up with the word of God, then you're going to do the right thing. God's grace helps us to do the right thing, not the wrong thing. And when we're found out that we have sinned, and let me tell you something, your sins will find you out. Light will be shown upon the evil that you're doing. You might hide it for a while. You may think that nobody's going to find out. And on this earth, they may not, but God is keeping a record. Today, I want you to realize that when you stand before God, it's going to be nobody's record but your own, and there's nothing going to be hid. It's all going to be bought out in the open. There's an old hymn that says, "There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below, but I went unto the keeper and I settled long ago." Today I pray that you'll settle your account, that you'll settle your account with God, and you do that through Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And only through him can you receive forgiveness of your sin. So take time today to get your account settled. And today, out of 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David is speaking these words to his son Solomon, who is now going to take over his kingdom. And as I said, David is getting ready to die. This is what David said to Solomon. "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understanding in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." He's speaking about the pattern that God gave David for to build a house. David was not allowed to build the temple. Up to this time, the Ark and the Covenant had dwelt in tents. But now God had laid it upon David's heart to put aside and to put back utensils and gold and silver, and had a pattern for the building of the temple that was to be in Jerusalem, and Solomon was to build this temple. This is what David said. "And David said to Solomon his son, 'Be strong and of good courage and do it.'" Then he's saying, build the temple, don't be afraid, fear not, nor be dismayed. "For the Lord, even my God, will be with thee." And I want to stop right there. Fathers, mothers, I want to ask you a question. Can you look at your children and tell them, do what God has called you to do, a purpose? What is your purpose that you have in life? And my God, can you say, my God, do what my God has instructed you to do, and my God will be with you. Now, a lot of you have gods, gods of alcoholism, gods of drugs, gods of immorality, gods of all kind of perversion. You see, you can't serve two masters. You will love one or hate the other. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. You've got to choose. And a lot of you are leaving a heritage and instructions for your children, and they're going to follow the same footprints you're going. They're going to go down the same path. If you live an immoral life, you set the pattern for them. You're laying a pattern. You're laying blueprints for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. You're laying blueprints for their life. And I want to ask you, what kind of life are you leaving? What kind of testimony are you leaving for your children? When they look at you and the way you live, what do they see? You say, well, I don't have much. It ain't financially. It ain't what size house you live in. It ain't what kind of car you drive, child. It's how you're living. It's how, what examples are you setting before your children? And he told Solomon, he said, God will be with thee. Oh, that's a promise to, that's a beautiful word. Knowing that no matter what you're going to face, no matter what you're going through, Solomon, God will be with you. And God was with Solomon, and he stood with him. And he said, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses, the priests, and the Levites, even they shall be with thee. See, not only when you do the will of God, not only is God with you, but those around you will work for you and not against you. For all the service of the house of God, there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, every manner of service, also the princes and all the people will be wholly at thy command. The work that God had for Solomon, King David's son, David was assuring him that if he did the work that God called him to do, and he went by the pattern that his father David had left, and used what David had stored up to build the temple of God, that he would be blessed, and God would give him peace and rest, and the people would be with him, and he would be blessed to do the work of God. Now, as we read on in scriptures in the latter part of Solomon's life, he began to take wives of other nations, and he set them houses up to worship their false gods, and that was a downfall in Solomon's life. And Solomon, when he first took over for his father David, he asked for wisdom, and God made him, as we know, the wisest man ever. But even in all his wisdom, he fell into a trap that the enemy had laid for him, because he forgot the purpose that God had in his life to build God's house, not houses of other gods. Some of you that I'm talking to, you started out good, but you got your eyes off of God's purpose for your life and on something else. When Solomon did what God told him to do and followed the instructions that David had left for him, he was blessed. People would come from other countries and come far and wide just to hear his wisdom that God gave him. I'm telling you today, if you'll do what God has called you to do, if you'll do and follow the pattern that God has for you, you say, what pattern does God have for me? I don't have a blueprint. Yes, you do. It's called the Word of God. And we're working on a building, not a building of mortar and stone and maybe gold and silver in it like the temple was, but we're working on a building for the eternity. You see, I don't care how young you are or how old you are, what condition you're in. You're going to live throughout eternity. And the place you live is going to be one or two places. You either choose to follow the pattern that Satan has for you, which is the broad road. Many's going to be on that road, but it leads to destruction. The place is called hell. And then there's another road, straight and narrow, and few be there that find it, but the choice is yours, and that choice is to lead into building a building that will be throughout eternity, and that's walk of faith to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to live with him throughout eternity in a place called heaven. That's a choice that nobody can make but you. Today I'm talking to people that you've made some horrible choices in your life. And you're reaping the result, and the result of the choice that you made. Life is full of choices, but it's also full of consequences of the choices that we made. Some of you fathers are not leaving a foundation and a pattern of right and right living for your family. Some of you mothers are not leaving a path of right living and a right choice for your children. They're watching you, and you're molding their lives, and you will be held accountable for how you've raised your children and have the life that you've lived in front of others. I see people today think that I can't tell you how many times I've heard this, I'm not hurting nobody but myself. That's a lie. Your life affects everyone around you. Even in the city that I live in, Martinsville, Virginia, it's noted in the United States for the drug addiction. Not just a state, not just a county, but the whole United States. In a little place called Martinsville, Virginia, it's everywhere. And it's so widespread that even the law enforcement can hardly keep a lid on it because of the entrapment that Satan has put out and the destruction that it's bringing to this place. And not only here, but all over America, all over the world. It's because we've left the pattern of God. It's because we've left the instruction of God. When God's word was taken out of the schools, you go back, you look, and you'll see a turn, a change of the tide of what's been happening in our schools. When you do not teach the pattern of God, when you do not leave a blueprint of God's word for the generations coming, you're going to have a society that is rebellious. You're going to have a society that are God haters. You're going to have a society riddled with crime and murder. You're going to have a society that terror will come in. You're going to have a society that drugs and alcohol is going to overtake. We're living in that time. Get back to the church. Get on your knees and pray, for that is the remedy for you. That is the remedy for your family. That is the remedy for your city. That is the remedy for your state. That is the remedy for the United States and for the world. We got to get back serious with God and get to the place that we can hear the word. David told Solomon, he said, be strong and of good courage and do it. And don't be afraid. We got people today that are afraid to speak the truth. We got preachers that are rewriting the Bible because they're afraid that God's word is going to offend somebody. That God's word is the only hope we have to cleanse and to take away the evil and to set the captives free. There are people all around us that are bound in this sin. They're trapped, and Satan has them trapped. And the churches as a whole doesn't have a message of redemption and deliverance for them. They have a message of feel good and do what you want to. Everything's going to come out in the end. That's a lie hatched in hell. You must be born again. And God's grace gives you grace to live right. And when you sin and you're acknowledged of your sin and you know of your sin, you need to repent of it and deal with it. That's like driving a car down the road and your oil light comes on. And anybody that knows anything knows that when that oil light comes on, you better stop and check your ride or you're going to be walking, because that's a warning sign. And when sin starts showing up in your life, that's a warning sign, because one sin don't show. The Bible says where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every other evil work. That's James 3:16. A lot of you know John 3:16, but you know need to know James 3:16. Anytime there's strife and there's envy, whether it's in a family, an individual, a nation, a country, no matter where it is, there's going to be confusion and every other evil work. Are you seeing that in our country now? Confusion. People don't know what to believe anymore. They don't know what to do with the politicians anymore. They don't know who to believe. It's a mass confusion. It's a mass confusion in our country because we've left the blueprint of God. We've left the plans that God has for our life. Jesus said, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. That's a gift that he has when we receive salvation. He said, my peace I leave with you. And the only way we can have that is to follow His blueprint, follow His will and His way for our life. David knew he was getting ready to leave the earth. He knew he was getting ready to go into the place that God had prepared for him. And he was leaving instructions for his son Solomon. He said, follow what I've left for you. Go by the blueprint. Build a temple of God, a place of worship, a place to, for people to come to get in contact with God and to have their sins forgiven. What are you leaving behind? You say, oh, I've got a bank account. I'm leaving my kids a car and a house, and I'm leaving it. Listen, none of that. In its place, we have needs for that. But look, that's not going to buy you nothing for eternity. And that's certainly not going to buy your children nothing for eternity. Can they say that you were a praying person, that you lived right, that you done right, that you lived a holy life? Are you going to be one that just destroyed your life through wickedness and vile living and trusting in the riches of this world? When you breathe your last breath on this earth and your eyes wake up into eternity, your bank account, your car, your status quo in the earth is not going to be bought up. It's only going to be one thing. Do you know Jesus? And I ask you that today. Do you know Jesus? Have you experienced the Word of God? Not just read it, not just heard about it, but have you experienced the Word of God? I've experienced the Word of God. I've experienced salvation. I know salvation is real. I know Jesus is alive. I know He lives. A man told me one time, he said, God is dead. And I said, that's strange, because I just got through talking to him a few minutes ago. God is not dead. God is alive. And He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. But you got to go by His blueprint. And that's the living Word of God. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. The Lord can give you a new heart, a clean spirit, a right heart, and He wants to do that. See, schools inform, reformatories reform, prisons reform, but only Jesus can transform. You may go to a place that they have a thing to help you get over something, and that's all good in its place. And you may learn a lot, that's all good in its place. But listen, there's only one that can transform, change your heart and change your way of living, and give you power to live a victorious life. And that one is Jesus. He said He loved us so much that He gave His life on Calvary. He shed His blood that if you would receive that gift, the gift of salvation, that you would be made whole and you would be born again and you would spend eternity with Him. We're threatened on every end in our nation now. We threaten with upheaval. We threaten with terror. We threaten with North Korea. We threaten with the grid going down. We threaten with earthquakes. We threaten with but you know what? Jesus said in His Word. He said, when you see all these things coming, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Some of you can't look up because you're not looking for your redemption, because you've never accepted your redemption, and that redemption is Jesus. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? What blueprint are you following? The one that Satan has laid out for you, which is going to lead to hell throughout eternity? Or the one that God has for you, the blueprint through Jesus Christ that leads through life abundantly, life throughout eternity with Him in a place called heaven? And you know something? I want you to hear me. I'm looking forward to heaven, but I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. And every day that I've lived for Jesus, it's been sweeter than the day before. As I'm making this CD right now, I have preached the Word of God for 50-some years. And when I started as a young teenage girl, it was sweet then. But I come by to tell you right now that it's sweeter now than ever before. Because every day with Jesus has been an experience of love and mercy and grace. And by His help and grace, by His help and grace, He helps me through everything that I have to face and every trial that I've been through. He has blessed me. He's blessed me coming and He's blessed me going. But the best of all is He blessed me with salvation, the greatest gift ever. Will you take time to call on Him? Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and follow His blueprint. And David said to Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, be not dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with you." And this is what he said, "He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished the work of the service he's called." And I'm telling you today, the God will not fail you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And to the end of your journey, He'll be with you. Paul said, before he left this world and he was beheaded, he said, "I'm now ready to be offered up." He said, I ran a good race. I finished the course. I kept the faith. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But not only for me, but to all that love His appearing, I'm now ready. Are you now ready? Are you now ready? Are you now ready? Follow the blueprint that He has. That blueprint is Jesus. Follow Him, and He will bless you beyond anything you could comprehend. There's peace and joy through Jesus Christ. Today, you don't have to keep living the life you're living. He come to save, set free, and deliver, and give you life throughout eternity through Him. I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today. And if you have a prayer request, I want you to write me. I promise, I'll pray over your prayer request. Some of you have written me in times past, and I'm still praying over your request. But I ask that you pray for me too, that I can keep on keeping on. And if this broadcast has been any kind of encouragement to you, just drop me a little note and let me know. That encourages me. But pray for me that I can keep on keeping on. And I pray for you right now that you and myself will stay in the blueprint of God's Word and finish that what He's called us to do. And God will be with us. He'll never forsake us. And He'll never let us down because our God is faithful and He is true. Follow His Word. And this is what He said. I love this part. He said, "Until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Stay faithful until you finish the work of the house of the Lord that God has for you. We are the temple of God. Finish the work that He's called us to do. And oh, what a time, what a joy you'll have following God's blueprint. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast.